But yes, so it's good to be back. It's been a long time since I've been here, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity. Thank you for praying for my father. My father passed away two or three weeks ago now. I saw his name was on the prayer list. Thank you very much. My dad has spoken here at Grove Park. He spoke back at the old Gospel Center back when it was downtown Durham there, and we'll miss him. We'll really miss him dearly. And death is a big separator, right? It separates us from each other and our loved ones. And cancer was the thing that got him right there at the end. And he's gone, but we know where he's at. He's with his Savior, who died on the cross for him. And my dad, just like all of us, a sinner, needed a Savior. And I'm just very thankful that he's with the Lord. And I'm very thankful that I'll see him again one day because of God's grace in my life. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. One of the things that I've learned, I've tried to jot down a few things as things would pop in my brain thinking about my dad. My dad has left me. I'll never see my dad on this earth again. That's just not going to happen on this earth. But you know, where my dad is gone, the Bible tells me that Jesus will never leave me, never forsake me. And that's something that I'm trying to really, really remember during this time and be very thankful for one who will always be there. And you know, there's a way that I can communicate with him, and that's really what I want to talk about today, is prayer. Let's pray. God, as we open up your word now, I just pray that you would help us to not only understand what we're hearing from your word, but to put it into practice. Give help, God, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 for one verse. Just want to focus on one verse. There'll be other verses that we'll mention and bring into our talk this morning, but we really want to just have a springboard verse, and this is what this one's going to be, Colossians chapter 4. So suppose there's a middle school basketball team, and the coach is trying to coach this little team, and he says, "All right, kids, we got these plays we got to learn. Boy, we're going to have some really good plays." Now, these are little kids. These are sixth graders, whatever. They don't know a whole lot about the basics of basketball. And the coach says, "That's okay, we're going to have the best plays. All right, now on play number one, what we're going to do," and he teaches them this play. And so the kids very dutifully, "Okay, I run over here. Okay, I set a screen. Okay, and then I run over here. Okay," and they do what they're told. They do what they're told. Play number two. "Well, what you want to do?" And they got all these plays. But one of the things that, let's just say, this coach has forgotten how to do is starting with the fundamentals, the basics. This is a basketball. This is how you dribble the ball. This is how you pass the ball. I think the Tar Heels could have used some of this year. Okay? I'm a Tar Heel fan. Okay? All right. But this is how you pass the ball. Right? This is how you shoot, and just teach them. Keep your elbow in, bend your knees, follow through, da-da-da-da-da. The very basics. But if you don't do the basics, the plays aren't going to work. Oh, you may have memorized some plays and know that you're supposed to run to this spot, but if you don't know the fundamentals, the play's going to be worthless. And at the end of the year, when the coach, you know, has this little final meeting with his team, the players might say, "Hey, coach, We learned a lot of plays, but we didn't learn how to play. We learned a lot of plays, but we still don't know how to play. What about in the professional leagues? Sometimes we get so caught up in running plays, even the pros. They need to have a timeout, and the coach needs to say, you know what, fellas, we need to get back to the basics. We need to focus on the basics. We're worried about all this fancy stuff. We need to get back to what works. And so the title of today's message is Getting Back to the Fundamentals. Sometimes in church life, it becomes about programs. The latest thing. What can we do to bring in the masses? Well, it's got to be boom. It's got to be this big thing. It's got to be this big whatever. The latest gadget. The latest trick. And we forget, we might have the programs, right? But is God working? Is God really at work? Can we see God moving in our midst? Or do we need to get back to the basics? Which is really what we need to focus on. And one of the basics is found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Let's read God's word for one verse. This is our springboard verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. It does not say get the latest gadget and church plant whatever, philosophy. Devote. What does that mean? What does devote yourself mean? It's to continue. It means you've already started something, so it should be a fundamental, right? In basketball, devote yourself to dribbling drills. Devote yourself to shooting drills. Devote yourself to passing drills. It means you've been doing it already. Keep doing that. Don't stop. This is a fundamental. It's the basics. If you don't do the basics, you're not. It's all going to crumble. It's the foundation, like into a house. You got to get your foundation right, or the rest of it's going to collapse. Devote yourself. Persistence. As we'll see as we get into this. But you don't stop. Yeah, but the prayers aren't being answered. Well, yeah, they are. It might be no, or it might be wait. It's being answered every time. Persistence. Devote yourselves to prayer, as we finish the verse. Being watchful and thankful. Watchful. Being spiritually alert. Not sleeping. I was watching a Christian movie some time ago, and in the movie, they talked very briefly about prayer. And this one guy said to the other guy, hey, look, when you pray for rain, you know what your attitude should be? If you pray for rain, you know what you should grab out of your closet? An umbrella. When you pray for rain, you should expect God to answer. You don't pray for rain and then grab your suntan lotion. That's going against what you prayed. When you pray, expect God to answer. Be watchful. Where is God moving in our midst? We are praying God to do this. Maybe God is doing this. We need to be watching to see where God is working and follow and be where He is at. Yeah, but we really want to do this. So, what is God doing? What does God want us to do? We need to be watching. Lord, I'm going to devote myself to prayer. God, show us what you want. We think we want to go in this direction, but Lord, if you want to go this way, we need to be watching and be alert and follow that guidance and be thankful for how you guided. So I'm a school teacher by trade, and I teach Bible history in the public schools. It's a wonderful thing to have an opportunity. I gave an assignment not too long ago where we're talking about the parables of Jesus, and I had the kids write a parable. Right? Just make up your own. Pretend you're talking to a third grader. These are high school kids. Pretend you're talking to a third grader. And I want you to write a parable. You pick it. You want to teach them about courage? You want to teach them about discipline? Whatever. I don't care. You write a parable. So I was reading these responses, whatever. And this one kid wrote a parable that went something like this. One day there was a man. He applied for a job. He didn't get it. Disappointed, he did something else. Well, the man who got the job, somebody else got it. This is some kid's just made up story. He said, the man didn't get a job, but another dude did. But the place of employment caught on fire, and the man got killed, who was his job. And so he was thankful that he didn't get the job. Right? Some kid just pulled this out of the sky. Right? You've probably heard something similar to it, but Lord, I'd like to go this way. You're leading me over here, so I want to be watchful and thankful on how you answer my prayer. Devote ourselves to prayer. This has got to be a fundamental of any Christian's life, of any church life. Otherwise, you're just grasping at straws, trying to figure things out, trying to draw people in, whatever. We have got to be devoted to God. God, talk to me. Show us, God. May we follow you and not create our own path. So what are some prayer fundamentals? So I want to just go over just a couple things, then I want to share some stories at the end. And then y'all can go home and we'll be done for today. Let me share with you just a few fundamentals. Okay, it's kind of like basketball, right? So let me share. All right, kids, this is how you dribble. You know, use your fingertips, snap your wrist. Don't let it touch the palm of your hand. You know, snap your wrist, da, 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 da. Okay, so here are some prayer fundamentals. In John 15, it tells us this. Without God, we can do nothing. That's something that is going to affect our prayer life. It's just a realization that, God, we can do nothing without you. We can do nothing. We can have the greatest program, But, Lord, if you ain't in it, it ain't going to work. The Bible tells us this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I know if I was building a house, it would absolutely collapse. I wouldn't even get to the, I couldn't even do the foundation, let alone build the structure. If the Lord's not building the house, we can work all we want. We can work overtime. We can hire professionals. But if the Lord's not building the house in our church, in our lives, in our Christian lives, it's going to be a disaster. This should affect our prayer life. Lord, I am helpless. I can't do nothing. God, it's got to be from you. That's got to be a foundational piece. Here's another prayer fundamental. When we realize we're weak, then he is strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God, I just like building a house. Lord, I am weak. I can't do nothing. So God, I'm trusting you. Lord, I'd love to see this guy get saved, but I can't save him. So I'm counting on you. I'll go talk to him, but you got to save him. And when we do that, it makes us rely on God. It makes us rely on God. Instead of maybe saying, we got this program, son. It's amazing. We spent blah, blah, blah dollars on it. This is just going to rock the world. They're just going to be coming through the doors. Well, maybe it will if God's with it. But when we realize that we're weak and God, you got to do it, now we got God doing the work, which is what we need. How about this one? This is Psalms 34:6. God is always ready to listen. Psalm 34:6 says this, the poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Did you catch that? The poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. When we call, God's listening. You know, Elijah was making fun of the men on Mount Carmel. If you remember that story, remember they were going to call fire from heaven? And boy, them jokers was, you know, they was scratching themselves and hollering and dancing around. And then Elijah just prayed that very short little prayer. And fire fell. God's always, he's not sleeping. But you remember what Elijah told them? Hey, I believe your God went out to McDonald's. I think he's taking a nap. Y'all better holler a little bit louder. You remember that? Our God never goes to McDonald's. He's never on the phone with somebody else. He's never taking a nap. When we call, God's listening. What an amazing God we have, y'all. He's listening to us. He wants to hear us. He wants to build our spiritual house. He wants to. And his ear is ready. He's ready. Jeremiah 33:3. Next fundamental. God will answer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things, which you know nothing about. Call unto me, he says. I will answer you and show you things you're not even thinking about. That's the God that we can talk to. He is ready to hear us. How about this one? Everything is possible with God. There's nothing our God cannot do. There's nothing. So often, you know, y'all, this message is for me, okay? I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to me. This is God's word for all of us. You know what I'm saying? So don't think anything else other than that. This message is for me too, okay? And so often we think, well, I'm a pray for this guy. He ain't getting saved though. He's been running from the Lord for a long time. Yeah, this guy probably will never trust the Lord. You ever catch yourself doing that? I mean, we pray, but in our human side, we say that's not going to happen. Well, they're sick and it's not looking good. Well, all we can do is pray. Yeah, but he's going to die. Well, on the human side, that's what it looks like. But with God, anything is possible. There is nothing that our God can't do. Nothing. He can handle it. He can handle it. Now, whether he will, that's up to him. But we got to give him a chance. We got to give him a chance. We got to ask him. Where's our faith? Where is our faith? We need to ask him. He's listening. And he wants us to pray with faith. Everything is possible with God. Well, does that mean that God is like a genie in the lamp and we just rub the thing and voila, we get everything we want? That's not how it works. So there are so few problems that we need to think about when we think about prayer. This is prayer fundamentals. Like I said, I'm going to end with stories. So if you're, hold on, just hold on. We're going to get to some stories. I know when I was a kid, I'd sit there and the preacher would be up here and I'd be snoring or I'd be drawing. But then when he said, let me tell you, boom, I was ready for the story. So the stories are coming. Examples, in other words. But here are a few things that we might need to think about. Has God been saying no to all of our prayers all the time? I mean, has it just been repetitive? No, 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 no. Do you find like you just, the prayers just bouncing back? No, no. Well, maybe there are a few things like problems. So let's say the kid's been shooting and he's been bricking, right? He's been missing. He's been missing a lot of shots. So what we got to do is come back. All right, let's see your elbow, man. Is your elbow in? Are you bending your knees? Are you getting on your tippy toes? Are you stretching? Are you snapping your wrist? We got to look at a few things. Let's look at our prayer life. Is our elbow in, so to speak? What are some things that we need to correct to see God move? Here are a few. These are prayer fundamentals. 1 John 5 teaches us that when we don't ask according to God's will, the prayers aren't going to be answered. We got to ask according to God's will. We need to know what God's will is, therefore, right? What does God want? What is God passionate about? We need to be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. And so, therefore, the chances of our prayers being answered are higher. Does this make sense, right? God's passionate about souls being saved. We, therefore, should be passionate about souls being saved. Right? What are things that God has promised in His Word? We need to know God's promises and pray back to God the promises of God. God, you said in your Word. This is what you said, God. Honor your Word, Lord. Please, honor your Word. I'm asking, please, we as a congregation are praying that you would honor your Word. Those are prayers God wants to hear because it's His Word. And so if we don't ask according to God's will, God's going this way, but we want to go that way. It's not going to be good. I have a dog. We go for walks. I call him a sniff. I tell the dog, Bailey, we're not going on a sniff. We're going on a walk. Quit sniffing everything. Let's go. We're not going on a sniff. Come on. And she'll just want to be sniffing over here or something. Come on, we got to go this way, right? I got to jerk her around, you know? Come on, let's go. She's over there sniffing around. She's doing her thing, and I'm trying to go this way. And God sometimes tells us that, doesn't He? Hey, man, what y'all doing? Come on, I'm trying to get this accomplished for my kingdom, and y'all over here trying to do this. Yeah, but it smells real good over here. It don't matter. We not over here sniffing that. We going over here. And we have our agenda, don't we? We got our little thing that we want to do. And God says, I got big plans for you. Hey, there's some ducks over here you can go chase. You're going to love it over here. There's a pond you can jump in. Come on, I got good things for you. Yeah, but it smells good right over here. What does God want? And let's follow God. How about another one? When we don't pray in faith. God, I want you to save so-and-so, but he ain't going to get saved. Well, God says, well, that's wonderful. You don't even believe what you're asking me for. How do you expect me to answer that prayer when you don't pray in faith? God answers the prayers of faith. That's how we got saved. By believing, right? By believing. Putting our faith in Jesus. God responds to faith. No faith, No answer to prayer. God's not interested in just little mouthing words. God ain't interested in that. He's looking at the heart. Do you believe what you're praying? We got to pray in faith. When we don't repent of our sins, if we harbor sin in our hearts, if we're living, in other words, God, I want you to do this, but you loving your sin. God's not interested in that. God wants us to come before Him with a pure heart, not holding on to secret sins. God says, well, your prayer life's going to be bad because you're holding on to some secret sins. That's in Psalm 66:18. How about when we don't pray at all? It's kind of like the kid, you know, the little basketball league, and how many points you score this game? I didn't score any points. How many times did you shoot? I didn't even shoot. Well, how are you going to score if you don't shoot? When we don't even pray at all, how is we going to see God work in our life if we don't pray at all? Suppose Michael Jordan just so happened to come to your gym over here next door, and he wanted to play with you, you know, in a little two-on-two, you and him against me and Cliff. Y'all better win, because Cliff is going to score all our points on my team. I can tell you that. I can't. I'm still working on the granny shot. But Michael Jordan's on your team. And you know what you do? Hey, Mike, I got this. I'm not even going to pass you the ball, Mike. I'm going to try to beat this team by myself. And you never give Michael Jordan the ball. People would look at you and say, you're crazy. What you should do is just give Mike the ball and step out of the way. Or say, hey, I'm going to set screens for you all day long. That's how we do God, y'all. God, I'm not even going to give you my concerns. I'm not even going to pass you my problems. I got this, God. And yet we got Almighty God who says, just give me the ball. Give me the ball. Now, God, we got all these programs. We don't need you. God's saying, hello. There's nothing that I cannot do. And you're not even passing me the ball. You're not giving me a chance. Give God a chance. Give Him the ball. Let me give you five. What time is it? Seriously. 20? Okay, 35 is what I heard. Okay. Come on, y'all with me? Okay, all right. That was a good one, I thought. That was all right. That wasn't half bad. Okay. All right, so We got five little examples here of prayer, and then we'll go home. Jesus was a man of prayer. As the old saying goes, if our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, took time to pray, surely, we need to take time to pray. We got to pray, y'all. If Jesus was praying on mountains, He'd go alone and get alone with God. We just sang about prayer, right? A couple songs there. If Jesus prayed, y'all, we got to pray. He was perfect. And He was communing with His Father. We are imperfect. We must talk to God. We can do nothing without God. Nothing. Jesus sets the example. We always want to see, what did Jesus do? That's the little bracelet, right? What would Jesus do? Jesus would pray. I don't remember Jesus having a bunch of programs. Do y'all? Bunch of programs and stuff. Jesus didn't even have a church building, if you really want to break it down, right? Keep it real simple. Jesus kept things real simple, didn't he? I mean, it was just very fundamental, basic stuff. You commune with God, you pray, and you read his word, and you be around other Christians, and you remember his body and death, blood and bread, body and his blood, which we take with the bread and the juice. He kept it real simple. But like our verse in Colossians said, he, you know, these are things that he devoted himself to. They were very simple. It wasn't the latest gadget. It wasn't the latest this, that, and the other. Now, some of those are good. I'm not, you know, God's given us gifts and the ability to put programs together. There's nothing wrong with good programs. But if we aren't concentrating on God and we're concentrating on the program to do whatever we're doing, we lost it. Jesus was a man of prayer. He is our example. Jesus prayed. I need to pray. Second example of prayer. Billy Graham. Billy Graham, I know many of you know who he is. I'll just pretend you don't. Billy Graham was a guy from Charlotte, North Carolina, who's passed away now. He loved Jesus, and he decided that God was calling him to a ministry where he would go around to these big stadiums and tents and various things, and he would tell people about Jesus in these big stadiums, and he would call them to make a decision whether they wanted to ask Jesus to be their Savior from their sins. And God used him. He was very, very effective. I remember Kara and I going to Charlotte. This was probably his last, this was 1996. And we went to hear Billy Graham at Charlotte, you know, Panther Stadium, whatever it's called, Bank of America Stadium. And we went to hear Billy Graham before, you know, this was his last one. I wanted to go to a Billy Graham crusade. One of the things that stood out to me, now please do not take this wrong. You got to listen to me close and I'm going to explain what I say, but please don't take this wrong. When I heard Billy Graham preach, I've heard better preachers. I know that might be like, you know, don't invite this guy back ever again. Billy Graham's the greatest preacher of all time. You're not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is it was a very simple message. I've heard more creative messages. But you know what? Billy Graham saw results. People streaming out of the stands to go get saved from this very, very simple message. And like I said, I've heard better. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about creativity, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what makes Billy Graham or made Billy Graham so successful? It was his prayer life. Listen to this. This comes from his website. It says this. This is Cliff Barrows, who was the song leader for him many, many years. He said this. Ready? Billy Graham, many people got saved, flooded down the aisles to go get saved. This is what he said. Prayer has been the heartbeat of our mission. On this website, it said this. The three most important things you can do, Billy Graham said. You ready? You ready for this? The three most important things you can do. Here you are. Three things. Here it is. I'm reading it right off here. Are pray. 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 Cliff Barrows goes on to say that. Pray, pray, pray. This is the greatest need of our ministry still today. Did you hear that? The greatest need of our ministry still today. It's not organization or great corporate structures or design strategy. All of that's good, but we've got to humble ourselves before God and put the emphasis on prayer. Any ministry or organization in Christian work is only as powerful as the prayer life of its leaders. Why was Billy Graham so successful? He wasn't successful. God was doing the work. Why did God choose to use Billy? Because Billy Graham was relying on God. It said that, this is Billy Graham again in his autobiography, he says, we stress that prayer was an indispensable element in preparation for a campaign. We sought to organize in advance as much prayer as possible. In fact, preparations for a Billy Graham crusade began months ahead of time with what his organization calls a foundation of prayer. Without it, said Art Bailey, the director of the New York crusade, we'd only get what man can produce. Did you catch that? Without prayer, we're only going to get what we can do. But when we pray, we're going to see what God can do. Y'all, this is the foundation. Let's get back to the foundations. Bend your knees. Don't worry about the other stuff. Let's get down to bending our knees. Elbows in. Snap your wrist. And in this case, bend our knees before an almighty God in prayer. It's foundational. You got to have it. Three more examples. George Mueller. How much time I got? 10? George Mueller. George Mueller was a man who he lived in England during the 1800s. And he saw that there was a lot of orphan boys and girls in England who would, they didn't have nowhere to go, and so they would take and put them in these work houses, work homes. There was no orphanages per se. And so this was right before Charles Dickens would write his very famous book about an orphan named Oliver Twist. George Mueller says, you know what, Lord, you know, in other words, what do you want me to do? And he believed God was calling him to found an orphanage. The goal of George Mueller in this orphanage was to help these kids physically, yeah, for sure, get them off the streets, let's feed them, let's train them up and just give them a job so that when they leave the orphanage, they can get a real job. Second thing, they wanted to see them get saved. They wanted to teach them that every boy and girl, when you come in here, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. And Jesus is your Savior. He died for you. Will you believe Him? Will you trust Him with your soul? He wanted to see Him get saved. And the third thing is, He wanted to do this. You ready for this? He wanted to have these orphanages run only by prayer. He would never go up to a businessman and say, hey man, you want to have a little tax write-off this year? How would you like to give me $1 million? And you can write it off, man. It's going towards an orphanage. Do you mind helping us, man? He said, I'm not going to ask anybody for any money. I'm just going to talk to God so that when the results come in, I'll tell what God has done. He will get the glory, and you will be encouraged and be motivated to trust God in your life. That was his whole plan with this orphanage. He said, God, it's just me and you. I'm going to tell all my needs to you. And you got to handle it, because if you don't come through, this is going to be a disaster. Well, he goes into this thing, and he starts bringing in the kids. Here they come. Well, he's got to feed them. He needs workers. He's got to pay them. He's got to house them. He's got to, you know, find a place. So he's constantly, and God would provide. Oftentimes at the very last minute. Let me tell you an example. One day, George was walking to the cafeteria with this child, and he's taking this child by the hand and says, get my notes here. He's taking this little kid by the hand and says, hey, why don't you come with me? Come with me. I'm not sure what, in other words, the kid probably asked him, said, hey, Uncle George, what are we having for breakfast today? And George knew that there was no food in the kitchen. But all the kids are headed down to the cafeteria. So he grabs this little kid, and he probably just kind of winked at the kid and says, well, you just come along, and let's see what our Father's going to provide for us today. And so the little kid didn't think nothing of it, just kind of meandered her own way, went on to the cafeteria. He says that the cups and the plates, they were all set out there on the table, but there was no food. And so the kids are standing there, you know, ready for the prayer, and, you know, maybe they got the food hot on the oven, they're just going to wheel it right on out. But the kids are waiting. So George, of course, is standing there, and he's got to bless the food. The only problem is there ain't no food. So he prays. He prays for the food that they are about to eat. There's a knock at the door. He's just been praying, God, thank you for the food you're going to provide. Lord, I don't know when you're going to send it, but Lord, I hope it's real soon. There's a knock at the door. It's the baker. The baker, right? He said, George, man, I just got to tell you, man. Excuse me, man. I ain't been sleeping all night. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep last night. I felt like the Lord wanted me to send you some breakfast this morning. In fact, I got this breakfast bread. In fact, I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning to make this bread for you. And George looked at him. You couldn't sleep. You got up at 2 in the morning to make some bread for me. Thank you, God. So the guy brings in the bread. Mueller thanked the man and praised God. Thank you, God. Almost immediately afterwards, he says, whoa, dessert. And he goes to the door, and there's the milkman. And the milkman says, George, you ain't going to believe this, but my cart has broken down, and ain't no way I'm going to be able to deliver all this milk, so it's going to spoil. So you don't mind taking it, do you? Would I mind taking it? Y'all thirsty back in there? And he said, time after time again, God provided, oftentimes at the very last minute. You know what? Sometimes God does that to test our faith, doesn't he? How long are you going to keep praying? You going to give up? And he tests our faith. He wants our faith like a muscle to grow. And so sometimes God says no to our prayer. Sometimes he says wait. All the while he is strengthening our muscles. There's lots of examples. George Mueller, like I said, his whole purpose in this orphanage, he ended up building 5 orphanages. He, you know, which could house, I think, of 2,000 kids. And he had these orphanages for years. And God provided all this money. Unbelievable amount. Let me tell you one more story about George Mueller because my time is running out. I got another 2 more stories. George Mueller decided that there was 5 men he wanted to see get saved. And he's going to pray for them every day until these 5 guys got saved. The one guy got saved within about 2 or 3 years. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You saved his soul. I got 4 more buddies, Lord. And I know that your heartbeat is to see people get saved when they recognize their sin and they call on you for forgiveness. Oh, God, I got 4 more guys I'd love to see get saved from hell. 3 to 4 years later, the second guy got saved. Boom. 7 more years, the third dude got saved. Boom. Well, he kept praying for these last 2. Kept praying for these last 2. He kept praying for these last 2. George Mueller dies about 50 years later. These last 2 dudes didn't get saved. But the 4th guy got saved like at his funeral. And the 5th guy got saved a few years later. George never saw the results of his prayers for those last 2. Wouldn't it be something, y'all, if you and I when we get to heaven, if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, get taps on the shoulder. Hey, man. Hey, you remember me? Dude, you prayed for me. You prayed for me, man. You prayed for me. Prayers of faith. We might not see the answers on this side, but God answers prayers. You want some homework? Here's your homework. It's for me too. Let's get five people. Okay? You need to get five people. I want you to think of five people like George Mueller. And let's start praying. Come on, y'all. Who are five people that you know that need Jesus? They might be sitting on the pew beside you. Somebody in your family. It's a neighbor. It's that person at work. It's some kid in your neighborhood. Come on, y'all. God can do it. Who do you want to see in heaven? Let's get five. Is it a magic number? No, it ain't magic. Get two. Get one. Come on, y'all. Let's get five. God can do five. God can do ten. Let's give him a chance. Let's pass him the ball. It might take a while. Come back to our verse, remember? Devote yourselves to prayer. Every day, God, I pray for Eric Block. Oh, God, save that guy's soul, Lord. My dad died 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there was a man who's still not saved that he has been praying for, my dad, for over 30 years. Easy. Maybe 40. Not saved. He loves his sin. He's been to church many, many times. Could tell you the gospel just like that. Not saved. You know why? Because he loves his sin. He's big into alcohol. He's a gambler. He gambles probably on sports stuff, you know. Maybe the Kentucky Derby. Maybe he made a lot of money yesterday. I don't know. But he's a gambler. He loves his sin. His name is Eddie Rush. If you want to pray for him, please add him to your list. I would love for my dad to get a tap on the shoulder in heaven one day from Eddie Rush. God is in the saving business. We need to give him a chance. And sometimes our prayers get answered long after we expect them to. We got to keep passing him the ball. His name's Eddie Rush. Who are your five? Quickly, as we close. Two stories. One more dude I want to tell you about. He's still alive. He's in his 90s. His name is Brother Andrew. He's from Sweden, Denmark, somewhere. After World War II, he decided that he was going to smuggle Bibles into communist countries in Eastern Europe. One day, I'm really keeping this short and sweet because I know you guys are ready for lunch and y'all got reservations. He was at a border crossing into Romania, and he had a car, a Volkswagen Beetle, full of Bibles. And he looked, there's like three cars in front of him. And this one car, the first car, they took an hour or something crazy. I mean, looking through everything, taking out his, you know, everything in his suitcases and everything, just looking for whatever. He said, oh my goodness, I'm going to jail. Because they took an hour. I mean, all my whole car is filled up is Bibles. That's it, just Bibles, Bibles, Bibles. Second car in line, he's car number four. Second car in line, they start taking off hubcaps. You know, they're looking everywhere, taking out the engine, taking out everything. He says, great day. One of the prayers that he was very famous for saying, and I'm sure he prayed it this time, he said this. He would say this many times. He would say, God, when I read the Bible, it says how you made blind eyes to see. Lord, I want you to do the opposite. I want you to make seeing eyes, and I want you to make them blind. That's what he famously prayed. And so he prayed to God, probably that prayer, and he prayed to God to do a miracle. Lord, my whole car is full of Bibles. There ain't no way I'm going to jail or they're going to kill me or something. I don't know what's going to happen. He prayed, God, just make them blind. So the second car goes through. It took 30 minutes. First car took 40 minutes. Second car takes 30 minutes. Fourth car took an hour. Hubcaps, took out the engine, the seats. He says, good night. He said, okay, God, tell you what. We're going to make it real easy for these people to see. But I'm asking you for a miracle. I want you to make their eyes blind. I tell you what, God, I'm going to uncover some of the Bibles, and I'm going to just leave them right here on the seat right beside me. So there's no question that you're getting ready to do a miracle. Lord, I might as well open up, you know, just John 3:16 or something. Just let it sit there. You know, he just has it. Just have the Bible sitting there. The guy comes up. I mean, he's ready to get arrested, killed, whatever. Guy comes up. He rolls down his window. Says, yes, sir, can I help you? The man says, let me see your passport, driver's license. Passport. Yes, sir, passport. I got that right here. Yes, sir, I got a passport. Yes, sir. Here's my passport. 10 seconds went on. You want me to get out the car? No, stay right here. Don't get out this passport. 20 seconds went off. Okay. Where are you? Oh, I'm just going to deliver. I'm going right down the road. Okay, yes, sir. 30 seconds went by. Here you go, man. Have a safe trip. Excuse me? That's all I got. God had answered that prayer, and he kept his Bibles right on the front seat. Many years ago, as a six-year-old boy, last story, and let's go home. Six-year-old boy, I was eating ice cream in the kitchen. My dad was sick. He was in the back bedroom. My mom was in the kitchen getting the ice cream. I was only six. So I'm eating the ice cream, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I don't know if I die tonight, if I go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. She says, is that so? Why don't you go back in the back bedroom and talk with your daddy? I said, yeah, because I'm really concerned. If I was to die tonight, if a car hit me and I got killed, I'm not so sure where I'd go. She said, go back to talk to your dad. So I go back there to my dad. This is 1976. And I go back there and I said, Dad? He said, yeah, what's up? I said, I'm not sure if I died tonight. Did I go to heaven? Something along those lines, right? And he opened up God's word and he showed me how I can be sure that if I died tonight, I can go to heaven. He showed me the verses where it talked about I am a sinner, and I knew I was a sinner. I'd probably stolen cookies from mama. I know I'd probably tripped my sister a few times and pushed her down the stairs or something mean like that. I know I'd thought bad thoughts, whatever it was, as a six-year-old kid. I knew I had done things that were wrong. And Daddy showed me in God's word that I was a sinner and I deserved to go to hell. I wasn't going to go to heaven. I was going to go to hell. And I knew I wasn't good. In fact, the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Not even one. Not even my mama was good. Not even Welcome Detweiler was good. Ain't nobody good. Not Billy Graham. Not Brother Andrew. Not George Mueller. And Daddy showed me in God's word that there's nothing I could do to earn salvation. He showed me the verses. It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. And he showed me these verses that if I just put my simple faith in Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if Jeff Rickert would believe on him, Jeff Rickert would never perish but have everlasting life. Just put your faith in Jesus, my dad told me. And at age 6 years old, back in that little bedroom in Conway, South Carolina, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know your heart. But you know what? God's got you here for a reason right now. And I wonder if God's speaking to you. And you know what? He wants you to speak to Him. He wants you to admit your sin. He wants you to quit trying to be a good person. You know, I got baptized. I gave money. God says, I don't care. That ain't nothing. God says, I sent my son Jesus to die on that cross for you. And if you put your simple faith in Him, you will be saved. Just like that. So that you know if you got hit on the way home and you died, you'd be with the Lord. He loves you. He's a wonderful Savior. Call on Him in simple faith. That's the most important prayer you can ever make. Call unto Jesus. Save my soul. Oh God, save me. He's never sleeping. He always answers that prayer with an absolutely come on home. He's in the saving business. Are you saved from your sins? Oh, if you want to talk further, please, I'd love to show you what God's Word says. Come to Him by simple faith. You don't have to walk an aisle. You ain't got to jump in a pool and get baptized. You ain't got to give money. You ain't got to join nothing. You ain't got to... Come to Jesus by simple faith. He'll save you. Let's pray. Lord, I'm standing here talking to You, and I'm sure there's people praying right now in the pews. Lord, thank You that You always hear us. You are concerned about our life, and You want to help us. It's a fundamental of the faith. Lord, help us to devote ourselves to prayer. Oh God, and I pray if there's someone here, Lord, there's got to be someone here who maybe is running from You, Lord, playing games, and they're not saved. They need You, God. Speak to them. You love them. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving us a way to be with You by simple faith. So, Lord, I just pray that we now would think about our top five people who need to be saved, Lord, that we would devote ourselves to prayer for these five people. Oh God, may we have many, many stories of what You're going to do. May we just be so excited about the stories that we're going to hear and that we do hear. So give us a great week, Lord. We look forward to what You're going to do through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.